Hey gang, this is Scooter here at Fish Toast. Thanks for tuning in. We're on episode 3 and we're going to start covering the basics of fishing. We went over the basics of equipment in the last episode, so we're going to sort of elaborate on that and basically what to do with that equipment once you get out fishing. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time in this episode to talk about where you should be fishing, but we will take a brief moment on that. So if you're looking to get into fishing, most likely you've already been out somewhere and you've seen people fishing, or you know a place to fish, which is why you want to go fishing. If you don't, I'm going to try and get some episodes in on, you know, types of places to go. Depending on where you've been looking at, if it's moving water, a river, a stream, something like that, I'm going to recommend you stay away from that until you get a pretty good feel for fishing. You know how to cast, retrieve, and so forth. And we'll get into that. But what you want to primarily focus on to start with is going to be ponds and lakes. Anything like that, still water basically, because when you cast out, whether it's a bobber or your bottom fishing, you don't have to worry about it like moving downriver or anything like that, and so you don't have, there's a lot of other things in there you got to contend with, so we're going to kind of want to avoid that to start with. So the basics of fishing then are going to be, or finding a spot, I guess I should say, are going to be, you know, kind of look and see where people are fishing, you know, and truthfully, you're going to look for some structure underwater. You're just looking for some things where fish can kind of hide out. There's a ton of factors that go into locating fish, and again, for starting out, it's probably not real critical as of yet. Most of the time you can go drop a line and bobber or a sinker or a bobber off the side of a dock, cast it out a little bit, some open banks and stuff like that. If you do see a place where you can see some trees down in the water or sticking up out of the water, weeds, and then when the weeds kind of are going across the water and all of a sudden they stop along that edge where they stop, those are some good places to kind of start. So I'm going to recommend that you find a place where it's pretty open. You don't have trees that you're worried about hitting with your fishing rod or anything like that, or worried about hitting other people. So you want somewhere that's, you know, just kind of a nice grassy edge or something like that to the water where you can stand there, you can move the rod around freely all around you and not worry about hooking up on a tree or some bushes or something like that. Once you get the hang of casting, then you can start kind of moving around, hit some different spots and different types of water. So again, we're going to say we're out fishing. You go out a nice open place, and for most of this conversation, I'm going to kind of talk about you know, the hands of a clock to sort of refer to this. So if you're standing facing the water, that's going to be 12 o'clock. I'm right-handed, so I'm going to kind of work that direction. If you're left-handed, you can just kind of work opposite. Though a lot of people will fish, I kind of fish more left-handed even though I'm right-handed, but I still cast like a right-handed person would. So, you know, there's a lot of variations there. But again, I'm going to kind of explain everything as though you're going to be casting using your right hand. So, you know, if you're standing facing the water, straight ahead of you is 12 o'clock, like where you want to aim the bait or lure to. And so to your right 90 degrees is 3 o'clock, to your left 90 degrees is 9 o'clock, and 6 o'clock would be straight behind you. Now, you could do an overhead cast. You'll see people do that. I'm going to strongly recommend against that when you're starting. If you're casting overhead and you let go of the line too early, you could drop the bobber or bait down on your head, or worse, hook an ear or hook the back of your head. So let's just kind of take that out of the equation for now, and let's work on a sidearm casting. So what you're going to do is, whether it's a push button or a spinning reel, the motion of casting is going to be the same. The only difference is going to be in what you're doing with your hand. So what you're going to do is, if you take the rod, point it straight out in front of you where you want to aim. Okay, so it's just like you've got a sword in your hand and you're pointing it at your enemy, but he's not really an enemy, he's just a fish. So you aim it straight out ahead of you, and you bring your arm, and you can twist your body with you too, but you want to take your arm over to 3 o'clock, or even a little back to 4 or 5 o'clock behind you, sort of. But it's, again, it's aiming off to the side. You're not aiming it up in the air, but off to the side. Now, in a push button, at this point, you're going to push the button in. When you push the button in, the line is not going to release yet. The line is not going to release until you let go of the thumb button. So that's going to be an important, very important factor in casting. So If you are using a push button, you're going to have the rod pointed off to your right-hand side somewhere around 3 or 4 o'clock, and you're going to kind of whip your arm forward. Now, you can start real gently. You don't have to wail the first few casts out there just to get a kind of an idea of what's going to happen here. So you're going to swing the rod around in front of you, and it's going to be pointed then at where you want to fish. You don't want to follow through like you're playing baseball or anything like that and swinging a bat. You're going to want to stop with the rod pointed in the direction that you're casting. Now, during the swing, you're going to release the button. Now, you don't want to release the button once you've stopped, because then you've just arrested all the momentum of the lure or bait, but you're going to not want to let go too early either. You're going to probably release somewhere around like 1:30, 2 o'clock even, or maybe even 1 o'clock. But this is where the practice comes in. This is a little trial and error. So as you're swinging around and your rod tip is getting somewhere in between where you started and where you're stopping, you're going to let go of the button, but you're still going to continue to move the rod to point in the direction you want to go. Now, if the bait is flying off to your left, you've let go of the button too late. If it drops off or kind of flies off to the right, you've let go of the button too early. So reel it in, try it again. Now again, I do recommend that you try this at home first. Tie something on the end that weighs a little quarter ounce. You could even take a couple of your split shots and just kind of crimp them on near the end of the line, but don't have a hook or anything sharp on there because there's no point in risking it. So if you practice this a little bit at home, when you get out there, you can get the line in the water, which of course is where the fish are and where you want your bait to be. So again, you're going to point the rod out to your right at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, somewhere around there, and you're going to kind of whip around with your arm and the tip of the rod, and as you're coming around, you're going to release that button, but you're going to continue to follow through a little bit with the rod to end up pointing where you want to go. Now, it's important that the tip of the rod is aiming the direction you want to go. Why? Because as you get used to casting and you're releasing the button at the right time, the bait is going to be flying in that direction from you. Well, if the rod is not aiming that direction, it's off to one side, as the line is coming out of the reel, out through the eyes of the rod and out the end one, the line is actually going to be kind of sliding along that last eye, which is going to slow down the speed of the bait. There's friction there, and you're not going to be able to cast as far. So you want to stop where the rod is facing the direction that the bait is flying or the lure is flying to get you the optimum casting distance. Sometimes it's not as critical, and you'll even use that technique once you get kind of advanced to slow it down as it's flying through the air. You know, say you cast out and it was a long cast, but you're going to hit the shore on the other side or you're going to hit something, you can actually slow it down a little bit by changing the angle of the rod in relationship to where the bait is flying, pick up that little bit of friction and slow down where the bait's going. So again, you don't want to follow through the whole way. You only want to follow through so that the point of your rod is now aiming at the direction you're casting. So I'll go through that one more time. You're going to have the rod in front of you sort of aimed towards where you want to cast to. You sort of want to face that way. Now you can twist your arm, twist your body to the right, back around to 3 or 4 or even 5 o'clock, swing it around. Well, you push the button actually while you're still stopped. Once you've turned to the side, push the button, then whip the rod around. And as it's coming around, you're going to release that button a little bit before you get to the point where you're stopping or the tip of the rod is aiming towards where you want to cast. If the bait comes out and it's flying too far to your left, you've let go of the button a little too late. If it goes off to the right, it means you've released the thumb button a little bit too early. So you want to focus on that. Now, in a spinning reel, the technique is going to be the same, but the way that you actually cast is a little different. So I didn't talk about this. On a push button, that to hold that rod in your right hand, you're going to take your three lower fingers, your pinky, ring, and middle finger, and they're going to wrap around the rod handle just below the trigger that's on the bottom side of where the reel is, and then your trigger finger is going to go over top of that trigger. That's going to let your thumb rest right on the button on the top, so that it's easy to operate that button. Now, once you've cast with a push button, you're going to want to reel the handle in a little bit. So you're going to reel your line in just until you hear the push button reel click. And what that means is it basically reset the bail cover that's inside of there, or the bell housing inside of there is going to snap back down. And now the line can no longer freely come out. So now you're ready to fish. If a fish gets on there, it's not just going to run away with your line. So on a spinning reel, it's pretty similar. Again, we're going to talk about, you know, you're going to point your rod out straight at 12 o'clock or where you want to cast to. You're going to take it off to the side, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock or so, and whip it forward till you're going to aim. And again, you're going to release about the same kind of time, somewhere around, say, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, but still continue the tip of the rod to aim out where you want to cast to. Now, when you're holding a spinning rod, you're going to take, you can really hold it how you want, but basically you're going to hold up higher on the handle. Most of your hand is going to be above the reel seat, which is where the reel has the stem that comes down and kind of connects and sets onto the rod, because your trigger finger is going to hold the line where it comes out of the spool. You're going to reach that trigger finger up and hold on to the line. And then you can flip the bail over, which is that little wire that goes around the spool. It flips over to the other side and locks in place. So now when you've done that, the line can freely come off the end of the spool. Well, if your finger is kind of roughly 90 degrees off the side of the spool and the line is around that finger, the line can't come off because your finger's holding it snug to the spool, kind of. So when you have your finger on there, your trigger finger, you're going to want to have the line brought out, and you want to keep it right near the tip of your finger. You don't want to have it way back in between some knuckles or something like that. You want to have it just on the pad of your trigger finger, because as you release, you're just going to kind of straighten that finger out. The line will slide off the end of the finger, and then the line is kind of free spooling off as you cast. So we'll go back to the start of that part. I usually take the two middle fingers, ring finger and middle finger, and I wrap them around the fishing rod just above where the stem comes down from the bottom of the reel, and I wrap them there. My pinky goes on the other side of the stem of the reel. This is just kind of a precaution to help you keep a firm grip on that rod, because you don't want to let go of the whole rod, or it's going to go flying in the water too, and that's bad. So again, your three fingers are going to wrap around the rod. I usually put the pinky around below the stem of the reel, and my ring and middle finger are around the rod above it. And then your thumb can either wrap around, like sort of making a fist, or you can leave your thumb along the back side of the rod, kind of aiming towards the tip of the rod, wherever it feels comfortable. There's really no set thing for that. But your trigger finger is going to be pointed out. Then you take your other hand, grab the line and hook it over the end of that finger. Now you'll get used to where you'll just kind of reach out and grab that line with your finger. But to get started, it's easy. You can just grab that line and pull it and just kind of set it on the tip of your finger. Now you're going to take your other hand again, and you're going to reach and flip the bail over. So now the line is ready to freely come off. The only thing that's keeping that from happening is that trigger finger and the line sticking on there. So once you've done this, you can aim the rod again straight out in front of you. Off to your left, or off to your right, then you're going to go around to 3, 4, 5 o'clock, and you're going to swing the rod around. And again, as you bring it around, you're just going to straighten that trigger finger out, and that's going to let the line slip off the end of your finger, and the line kind of, you know, then your bait goes flying. Again, if it goes off to the left, you've released a little bit too late. If it goes off to the right, you've released a little bit too early. A few times casting, and you'll see this works out pretty well. Now, if you need to, whether it's a push button or a spinning reel, you can cast kind of across your body, or almost like a backhanded cast. So you're going to reach across your body and aim the rod tip out to the left side, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and so forth. And you're going to just kind of whip it around backwards. And it's the same principle, it's just coming from another direction. So if you're standing next to, and you got somebody on your right side, you can fish from the left side, or vice versa. It becomes pretty useful. And as you get to learn, you'll notice, like, whether it's a push button or a reel, when you swing around to the 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock position, or 3 o'clock to your side, you can start with the rod a little bit lower, and as you swing forward, you can actually be lifting the tip of the rod up a little bit as well. That'll help you get a little more distance if you need it. But again, when you start out, just make light cast. If it goes 10 feet, that's great. If it goes 10 feet in the direction you want, even better. And then just kind of start to increase. And you'll notice over time that you can use your arm less to cast and use your wrist a little more, because the wrist on the end, you know, at the end of your arm, obviously, but well, hopefully, will create a smaller focus point or center point of the arc, and you can flick your wrist and still cause the end of that rod to move very quickly forward. And it's all working sort of like a whip. So you don't need like a lot of arm strength to swing it around, because a rod doesn't weigh much. You just need the speed, and you're going to get more speed out of using your wrist rather than your whole arm. But if you start sort of with your whole arm and then slowly bring the wrist action into it, it's a little tough to explain, I'll maybe hopefully try and again get some videos out here or something to sort of show you the difference between the two, and you'll learn that you can do some very minor movements with your wrist to still get the same action as you do moving your whole arm. It's just a lot easier that way, and when you combine the two, you can really get a good cast out of there. Now, so if you're out fishing for the first time, that's the basics of casting. Now, if we haven't talked about it yet, you know, when you get out there, you're going to decide if you're going to bottom fish or bobber fish. So we talked about that a little bit in the last episode, but you know, you're going to want to have your weight on there, whether it's your split shots and your hook, or if it's your bobber and your hook on there. Hook the bait on there so the worm is pretty easy to get on the hook. I feel like that part's pretty self-explanatory. You do want to make sure you kind of work the worm onto the hook several times. If not, the fish can come up and grab a piece that's off the hook a little bit. And if they're smaller fish, they're going to pick at it a little bit first. And if they can work it off the hook real easy, they may take your bait and you don't even know they were there. And, you know, you reel in after a bit and you're like, wait a minute, I don't have any bait. That gets frustrating fairly quickly. So you want to use a smaller hook if it's small fish, and just a small piece of worm. You don't need to have a whole big night crawler on there with just a little hook. Just kind of pinch the worm. You can sort of pinch them and almost pull them apart very easily, and when you pinch them, it kind of seals the ends up, so it's a little cleaner to work with. Plus, if you throw the other part of the worm back in the box, that worm will actually kind of seal up the other end that you've pinched. If you kind of cut the worm, they may not seal up and the worm dies relatively quickly. And you know, if you go out with a dozen worms and you use half and you take them home and put them in your fridge because they'll last a lot longer in the fridge because they like cold weather, then you know that worm may end up dying in a day or two, and you know, then when you go back out, you've got some dead worms in your box instead of live ones, and that's not as fun. So that's kind of the basics there. Now, we got to talk about something that's a little tricky to talk about, and I'm going to go over this more in detail later, but I want to give you the basics of it, and that's the drag system that's on your fishing rod or reel. So on a spinning reel, which I think is what the bulk of people will probably use, on the top of the spool, the head of the spool is actually sort of like a nut, like a nut in a bolt. So you can spin it, and if you spin it clockwise, you're tightening up the drag, and if you spin it counterclockwise, you're loosening the drag. So what is the drag? Well, the drag is a system that allows the spool to spin backwards. And so if the spool spins backwards, you can pull the line out by spinning the spool backwards without having flipped the bail over. Well, why is this important? Because if you catch a fish, or let's say even you snag the bottom, and you go to pull on it, if you pull too hard, you'll break the line. If you get a bigger fish on and he pulls too hard, he'll break the line. So the drag system kind of stops that. The drag system will allow the line to be pulled out without breaking the line. So the drag needs to be set. I usually try and figure wherever if I pull on a line and it's 6 pound test, I usually try and set my drag for what I feel like is 3 pounds. Now you could tie like a, you know, if you have a fish scale, that tells you how much a fish weighs, you could tie a loop in the end of your line, put it on the fish scale and pull it. And if you pull the line and you see like, okay, the drag starts to click in, like you'll start pulling line out, you'll hear it click. It's, you know, is what a drag sounds like. And once you start catching fish, you'll find it's one of the most beautiful sounds in the world. You know, so you can set that way. Now, I will tell you that a drag is not really meant to be exacting in a poundage setting. It does work that way, but again, 6-pound test, if you put a 6-pound weight on 6-pound test and hang it off your ceiling in your house, you could probably put 10 pounds on it and it won't break 6-pound test. So why do they call it 6-pound test? I don't know exactly why, but it has to do with sort of force that's required, because if you put a quick amount of force on there at 6 pounds, it may snap the line. But you could also slowly put probably 10 or even 12 pounds on it and it'll hold. So I don't know exactly how they figure those ratings out, but what I do know is that it's a good rating system. It works well, but don't just think that because it's 6-pound test is going to instantly snap if you got a 6-pound fish on there, or you can't catch a fish that's over 6 pound, or it's too big if you're catching a lot of fish around 1 or 2 pounds. If you're fishing for fish that are 1 or 2 pounds, you probably want to have 6 or 8 pound test on, because line breaks down over time. UV rays kind of break it down. The water quality kind of breaks it down. You get sunscreen on your hands and get it on the fishing line, breaks it down. Wear and tear on the line. So you want to be a little over what you really think you need to fish. Now, you will get into some light, delicate fishing if you're going for trout or you're really just honing in on panfish. You could use 2-pound or 4-pound test because the line is really thin and light. It's very supple. And that lets you work smaller finesse baits a lot easier. Again, those are sort of things we'll get into in more advanced. But, you know, so the drag system, let's go back to that because that's what we got to focus on. So if you buy a rod and reel and it's got 8-pound test on it in that light to medium range like we've been talking about, you want to be able to pull on that line, but you want it to offer some resistance so that, you know, it doesn't just pull out real easy, because if you hook a fish, he's just going to pull your line out. If you get a snag, you know, you're going to just reel and reel and reel, and you're going to hear your drag clicking, but nothing's happening, and it's a little tough to work with that. So you want to set your drag rating somewhere around the middle of what your line rating is typically what I do. So if it's 8-pound line, I figure I want to be somewhere around 4 pounds of drag. And so again, on the top of a spinning reel, I'm going to turn it clockwise to increase the drag. I'm going to turn it counterclockwise to decrease the drag. And you can play around with this while you're fishing. It's not a big deal. You're almost better to be a little bit too light on the drag than too heavy, because if you're fishing and you hook a nice size bass or something like that, and your drag is too heavy, it could snap your line. Or when you're reeling in and you happen to snag hold of a weed that really holds on to it, or a rock or something, you could snap your line. But if your drag is set a little lower, you're going to hear your dragging gauge, and you know, then it's going to you're going to basically, even if you reel, it's not bringing in any line because the spool's just kind of spinning backwards, you know, as you're reeling in. So you want to set that on a push button. The drag is set by a little thumb wheel that's a little lower on the side of the housing of the push button reel, and it might say drag, it might not, but it's just going to be a little wheel. Typically I've always seen them in black, but they probably come in all different colors, and you usually will see a line with a little minus on one side and a plus on the other. Obviously if you thumb it towards the plus sign, it's going to increase the drag. You thumb it towards the minus sign, it's going to decrease the drag. There are a lot of other factors that go into this, and so drag systems are one of the more complex ones. And you'll notice too that the more expensive, unfortunately, reel, the better the drag systems are. That's one of the mechanical systems that typically you get what you pay for. It's kind of a little pressure thing in there. I'm not going to get into exactly how it all operates just yet. I just want you to understand what that drag system is, and it's something that is pretty important that you want to be cognizant of it and know exactly what it's doing for you or not doing for you. If you notice that you're catching small fish and they're pulling the drag, they're pulling your line out, tighten that drag up a little bit, depending on the weight. You don't want to go too close to the weight of your line, and there is no surefire way when you're fishing typically to tell exactly what that drag is. But as you get comfortable with fishing, you snap a few lines, you start to get an understanding of how the two work together. The rod also works with the drag system, which is another reason why you want to not put it way up at 6 pounds. As the rod bends and you get a lot of friction on the line, that's actually going to make your drag effectively heavier. So in other words, if you set your line to, if you have 4 pound line and you put a 3 pound drag set up on it, if you have your rod up in the air and the rod tip is way bent over and you're fighting a fish, there's actually more tension on there than just the 3 pounds because of the friction that's created along the eyes of the fishing rod as it goes up, and you could snap your line even though it's set less than what your drag is set to. So usually to compensate for that, I try and keep the drag somewhere around the middle of the line weighting of the line. So again, if it was 6 pound test, I'm going to try and keep my drag somewhere around 3 pounds or so. Hopefully that's not going to confuse you too much. You'll know pretty quick. If you've got 10 pound test on there and your drag is set up there pretty high, chances are you're not going to catch too many fish that you're going to have a trouble with anyways. Though if you did hook into a monster and he happens to break it, you're going to feel really bad about it. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to sort of cover it. So you sort of get the hang of that. Once you've cast out, you know, you've set your drag, you're getting the hang of casting a little bit. If you're going to fish a spot and you haven't cast enough, and you got a spot you really want to try, try somewhere else first until you feel like you're casting pretty good, because if you keep casting in the same spot over and over, you're going to kind of spook the fish a little bit if you're casting a lot. So if you cast somewhere else, get the hang of it, then move into that sweet spot you really want to try so that you can cast out, let it sit, not create too many disturbances in the water, and hopefully catch some fish. Now, once you've hooked a fish, I am going to have to spend almost a whole episode on actually hooking a fish. Setting the hook is probably the most underrated, but one of the most difficult parts of actually fishing, especially bait fishing. Lure fishing, it's usually a lot easier because your bait's typically moving and the fish hits it pretty hard, and a lot of times they'll almost hook themselves. But either way, you feel a strong hit when you're lure fishing, which is why a lot of people really enjoy that one. But it's good to learn the casting and feeling what a fish feels like and so forth, and catching a few fish with some bait is a great way to start. So setting the hook is nothing more than basically you've got the line snug between you and the fish, and you lift the rod tip up quickly, and that's going to pull the hook quickly towards you and basically penetrate into the fish's mouth. And if you pull it too hard, you might pull the hook right out, and it won't get enough time to bite. If you don't pull hard enough, you may not sink the hook in far enough that the barb goes into the skin, into the fish, and then the fish can slide off the hook real easy. So if you seem like you're catching, you got a lot of fish bites and stuff going on, and you give the rod a little twitch when you feel it on there and you start reeling in, and all of a sudden the fish is off, you're probably not setting it quite hard enough. Now, if a fish bites and you go and yank that rod and all of a sudden there's no fish there, you may be setting the hook too hard. So you kind of got to play around with that one a little bit. I would like to dive into that more, but again, I just kind of want to get you fishing, getting some bites, hopefully hooking a few, and getting to reel them in. Now, when you're fighting a fish, again, if we're looking at panfish, smaller fish, it's not really a big deal. Reel them in. You know, just kind of start reeling. You want to have the rod aimed up in the air somewhat, maybe 45 degrees up into the air. You don't need to have it 90 degrees in the air. Now, if it's a bigger fish and they're starting to pull, you don't want to reel when they're pulling you real hard. But it's important always, no matter what fish you catch, that you're keeping good tension on the line, because they're going to shake their head a lot. And if you don't have tension on the line, they can throw the hook. What's called throwing the hook. They shake their head and the hook comes flying out and you've lost your fish. So you want to make sure you're keeping the line tight. But if the fish is going on like a run, they'll call it. So if fish is running, you can let him run. He might pull your drag, or maybe he's just pulling really, really hard. Let him tire himself out. You can reel a little bit, but you got to pay close attention, because sometimes they'll turn and run towards you, and then you got to reel the line in fast enough that you're keeping good tension always on the line. You let too much tension off and they can shake it. You put too much tension on it and it can pull out. Which is why, again, if they're pulling and fighting real hard, you don't always reel in the whole time. You kind of let them tire themselves out, pull, and then you pull back. So it's a little bit of a dance, but that's the fun part. Like, once you start to get the hang of it and you get a feel for what the fish is doing, it's really exciting. It's a lot of fun. Now, once you get the fish into you, you've got to land the fish. Now, again, bluegills, smaller fish, and smaller bass even and stuff, you can do what's called a swing landing, which is what a lot of people do. I usually don't tend to do it too much. I prefer to net fish, but it's all in what you like to do. So a swing landing is you're basically just lifting the fish up out of the water with the end of your rod and swinging him over to the side and setting him down on the bank where you can work on him. You know, take the hook out, get him back in the water, take your picture with him if you want. But again, you wanna get him out of the water so that you can take him off. Now, you know, sometimes when you go to lift them out of the water, they'll start wiggling real fast and they may fly off the hook. We call that a quick release. If you don't touch the fish though, it doesn't count. So just throwing that out there, if you're out there tallying, unspoken rule is if you don't at least touch the fish, you can't count the fish. So keep that in mind. I use a net a lot, especially with fish like trout that are a little more delicate. So I'll leave the fish in the water and I'll scoop the net underneath them. And if I can, if it's accessible, I'll kneel down at the edge of the water and I won't even pull the fish out of the water until I've got the hook out. I'll keep them right in the edge there, so you can do it how you want. Now, you can also, on small fish, you can just lift your rod up in the air and kind of just lean it in towards yourself. And the fish doesn't have to touch the ground. Whatever works. Now, you do want to be careful. You're going to want to learn a little bit about fish and what you're catching. So again, if you're catching small fish, chances are you're going to catch a lot of panfish, bluegill, sunfish, and so forth. Now, when you handle these fish, you're going to have to hold the fish so you can take the hook out of his mouth. Now, you can keep him in the net and kind of use your pliers or forceps to just reach into the net, grab hold of the hook, and work it out of its mouth. We're going to go over that in a minute. But a lot of times you got to hold on to the fish so you can work the hook out of its mouth. So on bluegills, panfish, and so forth, they have very spiny dorsal fins. The top fin on their back has these ridges in them of I'm not actually sure if it's bone or cartilage, but I believe they're bone. And they're very sharp on the points. So you don't want to get stuck by those. It's no fun. Nobody likes it. So what you do is you would take, if the fish is on the ground or if it's hanging off the end of your line, you're going to take your hand and kind of surround the fish up near the head. Now, you want to start this just below at least where your hook is, because you don't want that fish to all of a sudden wiggle and the hook goes into your hand if it's sticking out of the side of its mouth. Nobody likes that one either. So you start your hand and you sort of grip this thing like a baseball and slide your hand down its body. And as you do that, you're going to compress that dorsal fin and hold it tight to its body. So now you don't want to squeeze the fish to death, but you want a good firm grip. So you're holding the fish and you're holding those spines down against its body and it can't stick you. Then you can hold the fish with one hand, preferably, again, if you're right-handed, hold it with your left. And then you can take your pliers or forceps, reach into its mouth, grab hold of the end of the hook, and then you're going to push it backwards. So if it's a good hook, the hook is going to be sticking out the side of its mouth or the top or bottom of its mouth, and the point of the hook is aiming up like towards the front of the fish. And so what you have to do is work that hook backwards. So you're going to basically almost seem like you're going to grab the end of the hook, like the shank of the hook, and you're going to push it down farther into the fish's mouth, but that's going to pull the hook back down through. And then you just kind of pull it back out through its mouth without hooking it somewhere else. That's kind of the basics of that. Taking fish off the hook is it's a lifelong learning experience. You always hook them in different ways, and everyone is a little difficult to work with. So you just do your best to try and not beat the fish up. Take care of it. If you need to, if you have a pair of pliers and they have like a set of wire cutters at the base of those pliers, you could actually cut the whole barb of the hook off from outside the fish's mouth, and then there's nothing that actually holds it in place. Or you can use the end of the pliers to crimp the barb down, and then it should slide right back out through the hole that it made going in. Again, you're going to have fish that swallow hooks. You're going to have fish that it hooks in weird spots. You'll hook them on the outside of their body because they swam by right as you pulled to set the hook. And, I've hooked them in the belly, so you'll hook them in strange places. So it's always a little battle. Just remember that you can always press the barb down or cut the barb off the hook. You got a whole pack of leaders, so if you mess up one hook, it's no big deal. And then you can get that hook out. If a fish swallows a hook, and you've got no way of getting it out of there. And this will happen to you when you're bait fishing. It's an unfortunate part of it, but there it is. If I do this when I'm fishing for trout, I don't usually keep trout. I do from time to time, but I more sport fish for trout. If I catch a trout and it's swallowed the hook, I'm probably keeping that trout, because there's a reasonable chance that with the hook stuck in him, he won't make it. Fish or trout especially are pretty delicate. Most other fish, what you can do is you can cut your leader just above the fish's mouth. So basically you're cutting the line off but letting the hook in the fish. Not a great scenario, but sometimes it's just what you have to do, and then you can release that fish back into the water. And typically they'll either work that out, or they'll actually kind of grow sort of like skin over top of that, and they, you know, basically have a little bit of a nodule in there that you know, will either grow out or it'll dissolve and so forth. So it's not a great or pleasant experience. You do it a few times and you'll not like it either, but it's not the end of the world. You know, so just remember, the more attention you pay to fishing while you're out there, the easier it is to get a proper hook set. And you know, you're not paying attention, and a fish is takes your bobber underwater for a minute, and then you look up and you're like, oh, there it is. There's a good chance that fish has already swallowed the hook. Or if it's on the bottom and you don't have your line snug, which we're going to go over here now, you know, you have that. So once you've got the hook out of the fish, snap a picture with it. Take a picture of it. Tell it a story, whatever you want to do. But you want to get it back into the water pretty quickly, because they don't like being out of water any better than like we like being underwater without some sort of breathing apparatus. So, you know, you want to get them back in the water as soon as you can. But again, snap a picture or whatever. Before you handle the fish, wet your hands, because they have a slime coat. If you have dry hands, you're going to mess up that slime coat on them, and then that opens them up to parasites and bacteria once they're back under the water, especially trout. A simple rule is, the slimier the fish, the more it depends on that slime coat to protect it. And so again, just put your hands in the water before you handle the fish, and that should take most of that problem out of the equation. Get the fish back in the water as soon as you can, but don't be afraid to, like I said, don't be afraid to snap a picture or anything like that. You don't need to throw the fish into the water. You can just put them gently back in there. That's a little bit nicer to the fish. You put a new worm on. Sometimes you're lucky enough that the worm stays on there. Keep fishing, catch more fish. It's great. So now, I forget where I was going with this one, but so once you've released the fish back into the water here, that is terrible. I did have another point I wanted to hit here, and it'll probably hit me in a second. But in any event, so once you've released them back into the water, clean your hands up a little bit, put more bait on if you need to, cast it back out, and keep going. Know your fish, though. I was kind of starting with that. So bluegills, they have those spines in the back. Bass have them too, but they're farther back. Bass kind of have a unique quality in that they have a really strong jaw and a big mouth, so you can actually hold those guys. You can hold them the same way, but those guys, you can actually put your thumb in their mouth, watch the hook, and sort of pinch their lip, but you want to make sure you're letting them hang straight down. You don't want to have them like angled all over the place, because you can damage their jaw, but their jaw is pretty durable. You'll see the guys, you know, or whoever on TV fishing, and that's how they do it. It's a great way to do it. Hopefully you've caught enough of them that at the end of the day your whole thumb is raw from their teeth. They don't really have teeth. It's almost like sandpaper. They do have teeth, but it feels like you got your thumb sitting on sandpaper, so it's nothing to worry about. Some fish like pike, walleye, have teeth, so you got to watch that. Catfish, they have on the back edge of their gills, so like where their gills are on the back of their head, right at their gills, they've got a real sharp point. That's basically on the, for lack of a better term, it's like a point on the edge of their skull, that if you grab hold of that fish and it can swing its head around, that point is pretty sharp and it can actually stick you, and that's not fun. So catfish, you can hold farther back on their body and keep a firm grip. They're pretty slimy, so that can be tough. You can actually hold them up higher. I hold them basically almost by their head with my fingers right in the edge of their gills. So that point is actually below my fingers, and then I can work on them and do whatever I need to do. So learn what fish you're going for, just to be careful. There's no fish that are dangerous to that level that you're going to lose a finger or something unless you're being really foolish. Pike and walleye that have teeth, I'm not saying they couldn't take a finger, but when they come out of the water and you look in their mouth, you're not probably putting your hand anywhere near that mouth. So that's usually not a big problem. But just kind of know the fish you have. Even if you don't know what species it is, look for the signs. Look for the points on the dorsal fins. Look for the barbels or the points on the ends on the backs of their the points on the backs near the gill. Just things like that to be careful. So again, once you've done that, you release the fish back in the water. Great. You're catching fish. You're getting them back in the water. Keep going. So I'm going to continue with the next episode here soon. Kind of talk a little bit more. I do want to dive into some rods and reels and stuff soon, but I think I would like to tackle a little bit more about places you're looking to fish, and hopefully a few more tips about maybe some different techniques while you're fishing to try out to make it a little more enjoyable. So tight lines, everybody. Keep at it. Good luck, and hopefully I'll be talking to you here real soon. Take care, and thanks for listening to Fish Toast.